More problems? Any more problems this year, or?
I think everyone's good.
Everyone's good?
No one's COVID anymore?
I haven't gotten my results, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, if they, yeah, I'm saying no one was like not here. I think it'll be the same.
Okay.
The same, Sam's the oldest.
Okay, so listen, we're about to embark upon a brand new sugya. We just barely introduced it yesterday. I think we can try to get ourselves a Rosh of Ruvenu into the sugya. So we wind up, Gimel Amud Aleph is trying to analyze the Mishnah. That's the whole goal. So what we've been doing for the last 6 weeks is trying to learn the Mishnah. So the Mishnah speaks about the obligation of bringing a kaisel. So we can buy two different possibilities as to how that obligation got off the ground in the first place. Either got off the ground because the two parties agreed to build the kaisel, or because the two parties simply agreed to split up the chotzer, which in turn kicks in the dinder abanan of the takana of benes kaisel. So come on, back pedal for a second. The Gemara says, "Now wait a second. Wait a minute. What do you mean they agreed to split up the chotzer? And what is compelling them to follow through with that agreement? What's up? Because they gave their word. Because they said." I mean, emes is nice, and midvashek etirchak is very important, and you know, marvelous midos machine is very, very critical, but tachlis, chayshim mishpat didi mamon is just agreeing to do something, it's not going to really get you very far. So Gemara says, no, they did much more than just agree with their words. They made a kinyan sudar, kinyan chalipin, to that effect. So the two parties took out the handkerchiefs, and they said, I'm hereby obligating myself to split up the chotzer. I'm hereby obligating myself to split up the chotzer. What kind of joke is that? All that is the kinyan devar b'yahoma. It's a kinyan on words. Kinyan is not typist on words. What does that mean? Kinyan chalitza is gevaldik kinyan. It's one of the best kinyanim around. You know, most kinyanim are half-baked kinyanim. They work. Some work in karka, some work in metoplin. Very rarely do we find a kinyan that works on everything. And that's exactly what chalitza is. L'chaim kol dover. V'zayit tefanim b'yisrael l'u'vel t'mur l'chaim kol dover shal v'shnal v'zayit. It's unbelievable, Kinyan Chalip. It's Gevalge Kinyan. So come to Hashem and explain, it's a Gevalge Kinyan to be kind of Chefta. You can be kind of a piece of land. You can be kind of car. You can be kind of Chometz. But you can't be kind of, I'm kind of from you the fact that I'm going to cross the street. I'm kind of you the fact that I'm going to eat dinner. What does that mean? A Maisa? What kind of Kinyan is this? A Nitfas in the Kinyanim? That's a kinyan devar and b'alma. It's a kinyan to fulfill my words. Doesn't mean anything.
What's it? Is there much self-dishmah versus
Again, I'm all for telling the truth. I think it's a great thing to tell the truth. The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. But I can't take you to a dintayra because you lied to me. It doesn't mean anything. It's not a dintayra. It has to be a chiyah of tzchal and dinim amunah. Something really to put our teeth into. So that's what the Gemara says. It's a kinyan devar. So the Gemara is going to come up with a solution to that problem. The Gemara is going to figure out how it works, the Maisa. But we're just focusing on the question. Our sugya is the question of the Gemara. That deficiency of a kinyan devarim. So it's without deficiency of a kinyan devarim that we have to open up a sugya in Maseches Ksubis, beginning of the fifth parak, and try to get an understanding of what is a kinyan devarim and what is not a kinyan devarim. And the sugya begins, the first mission in the fifth parak, Maseches Ksubis, name of parak, the strange way to start a parak, Afal Pi. And if you're writing like an essay in grammar, I don't know, you get the extra credit. Afalti. Even though, what's the even though? So the Mishnah Ksubis tells us that we already know back from the first parak of the seventh Ksubis that when a couple gets married, there's a chiyuv to give a ksuba. You have to write a ksuba. And in the event that either the husband dies or the divorce, so she's going to be entitled to collect a ksuba. It's a big machlekes of tenoy, machlekes of aroy, machlekes of rishonim. Is that a chiyuv ksuba din deraisa? Is that a chiyuv min derabanan? It would be a din deraisa. We have to say, the Chumash doesn't say it explicitly, but the Torah does say that if a person is ma'anis as a besula, so then he has to pay her 50 shekel. The Torah speaks about it in the Parsha Mafat, the Kemar HaBesulais. So it could be that the fact that the Torah speaks about the person who in a sense, ruined this girl's ability to be a besula, she's not a besula anymore, so he was mafsid at that moment of a ksuba. So it could be that that's what the Taz Maram is to, that the normal standard protocol for ksubas is taka 200, and that's the din, and you chiv in a Torah to give to write for ksuba for a besula 200 zuz. And others say, no, the Torah is just describing that was Darkei Shalom in the days of Matan Torah. That was the practice that people came out of the Sukkos, people would write 200 Zuz. It doesn't mean the Torah is advocating we have to do it. The Torah is just saying that that was the normal, that was the standard. And therefore, if you have an honest, it's a basula, so you were mafsid her, which you would otherwise have been entitled to. But not that the halacha requires of you to do it, but there is no such requirements. That's a big machlekes in the Gemara. Machlekes Aliyim is there, where the ksubas are deraisa, where the ksubas are derabbanan. In the nusach of the ksuba, the text of the ksuba of Ashkenazim, so we write the phrase, the kesa zuzim losim the chazi lechem in deraisa. You throw in the word that you're entitled to the ksuba min haTorah. So that seems to indicate that we pass in the ksuba deraisa. That's what Tosfos writes. Of course, never been a time. You should write the phrase the chazal lechem deraisa because we pask Ashkenazim pask in the chib ksubas deraisa. So then the Rosh says no, it doesn't necessarily mean we pass the ksubas deraisa. It could be the chazal lechem deraisa just means that the Gemara says it in Maseches Ksubas that when you have chiyuvim that are chal min haTorah, so you use a certain currency, it's called kesef tzuri, and when you have chiyuvim that are min derabanan, there's a different currency, a lower standard currency, kesef bedina. Beit Chazal, there were two currencies that they had the same coins. They were called Shkalim, they were called Dinrim, and they were the same names, but they had very, very different values. So you had American dollars, you had Canadian dollars, and they had the same word in the same place, but it meant something very, very different. So the Gemara is al-Cheshbin, when you're dealing with the Chiyuv Deraisa, you have to use the higher level of currency. You're dealing with the Chiyuv Derabbanan, so the lower level of currency. So the Rosh writes that when we say that the Chazi Alechim Deraisa doesn't mean that the Chiyuv Ksub is Deraisa, it just means that the way we're going to mishar the money, monetarily, is going to cost you like a deraisa to get chiyuv, but it's not a real chiyuv deraisa. So again, you have two different versions in the Ashkenazi world why we write this phrase, the chaz lechem deraisa. Either because we pass in that it is deraisa, or because we pass it's not deraisa, but you still write it because it's the monetary value of a deraisa. So the Svarnim don't write the word deraisa, because they think the whole thing is not true. So the shitas of the Svarnim Rishonim was, you just write the chazi lechem, finished. It's royal lekach. You should get this. It doesn't say we're not committing ourselves to the shayla. So within the world of the Svarim Rishonim, what if you went in and you wrote deraisa? So there was one opinion that says maybe apostle wrote ksuba. So maybe all the Ashkenazi ksuba is apostle. And others said, well, the apostle ksuba, but it's wrong. You shouldn't write it. So yesh v'yesh. So the bottom one is that the Svarim they don't write the chazal lechem deraisa with Ashkenazim, but there is we've been writing the chazal lechem deraisa. Fine. So there's a chiyuv to pay ksuba. The chiyuv to pay ksuba is only 200 zuz. It's not so much money. So let's say a person wants to add on to the ksuba. He wants to add on what's called tosefes ksuba. He likes this girl so much. He says 200 zuz. It's not enough. He wants to show off how wealthy he is, how much he likes her so much. So he throws in another 10,000 shkolim to the ksuba. That's what's called tosefes. He doesn't have to do that, but if he wants to, he has the right to do so. So there was a practice in the days of the Rishonim that people would write stuff. Yeah, you don't have to. But there was a practice they would write the seven ksubas. How much would they write? They would write these exorbitant amounts of money, even though, as Taisus writes in the Sechas Ksubas, the tamed ashim nagush yekhos lechos lekala meyal litrin akhmish emel shevapruta. That doesn't have a penny to his name. The guy's been sitting in the yeshiva. He doesn't have a trade. Doesn't have a work. His father doesn't have any money. His grandpa, nobody has any money. And he's writing, I'm here by Mishai myself, the 10,000 golden coins, francs or marks or whatever the pre-dated coins back to Germany and the French. These humongous amounts of money. The whole thing is Mamish Shepherd Achaz. The whole thing is Mamish a big joke. So Tosfos writes, how exactly does that happen? Like, what exactly is Mechayev you to give that money if you don't have the money? That's what Tosfos presents the question. It says Tema, the Avshiv Nogu Shekhaz Mechaz Mekala Meya Litra Rabbish Eilu Shavpruta. So, what do you mean you're Meshavet? What mechanism in Halacha did you use to be Meshavet yourself? So clearly, the only mechanism that's available to be Meshavet yourself is you must make your Chalipin, which is exactly what we do. So next time you're at a Chasim Tish, so pay careful attention. So one of the things that happens at the Chasim Tish is, the Mesar Kedushin comes over to the Chasim, and he says, listen, we're going to make a kinyan on the following three things. We're going to make a kinyan on the Ika Ksuba itself, which is the question why we even need a kinyan for that altogether. We're going to make a kinyan on the Tosefes Ksuba. That we do need a kinyan because he's not mechuyev really to give it to us. And then for Gulam, we also throw in another thing. We throw in what's called the Nedunya. The halacha is that the girl does not have to bring anything into the marriage. There's no one. Anything that comes into the marriage is out of the goodness of the heart of your father-in-law to be. If he chooses to be a nice guy and bring certain property into the marriage that you're going to have the right to use. Let's say, for example, your kala comes, brings a car into the marriage. It's a beautiful thing. There's no expectations for them. Let's say she brings an apartment into the marriage. It's wonderful. Goodbye. Say thank you. Many times over. But there's no expectations. The problem is today's world, everything is expected. Everyone's entitled to everything. So the starting point is, you're entitled to nothing in this world. You enter into this world with nothing. You enter into marriage, you're entitled to nothing. Whatever is given to you, you should express the greatest akaras hatayim, whatever people give. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing, but you won't be disappointed. Expect nothing. You won't ever be disappointed if you get nothing. So the starting point is that he doesn't have to give, but he's a nice guy. The father was a nice guy. He wants his daughter to have some nice things. So he sends things along into the marriage. So what does he send? He sends some sheep. So again, if somebody, your father-to-be ever tells you he's going to send you some sheep, I maybe look for a different father-in-law. So the fun is, we don't do that. We send other things in. So he's going to send you sheep. And then there's going to be a whole arrangement of who's going to be responsible for that sheep and how much, if something happens to the sheep, the husband's going to be using the sheep, he's going to be getting the fruit of the sheep, and then if something happens to the sheep, he's going to have to pay for them. So this is dollars and cents. So the chosan, the husband-to-be, is going to be meshavet himself. That here the father-in-law is sending in $1,000 worth of nadunya, of a dowry, and he's becoming upon himself a charayus, that if something happens to it, so he's going to have to, if the marriage disappears, if marriage, dissolves, he's going to have to repay the wife, or repay the father, or repay somebody for all the money that he was becoming a charayus on. So we write that into the Ksuba also. That's called the Nechset San Barzal, the Dunya. So we throw that in for good luck also. So in the days of the Rishayim, they used to write these exorbitant numbers that there was the Sefes Ksuba. The Sefes Ksuba is not dependent on anything. The Chasim would be Mishabed himself to that crazy amount of money. And then the Chasim would be Mishabed himself to these Nechset San Barzal, even though 9 out of 10 times the girl wasn't even bringing anything in. Like we write, you pay attention to reading the Ksuba, we write these crazy numbers that the Chasim is Mishabed himself to mayors of Kukum Kesel of 100 silver coins to make all the things that the wife brought into the marriage. She didn't bring anything in. She brought a half a goat. She didn't bring anything in. And no, she brought a couple of towels. And, we brought mayors of Kukum Kesel Tzorov. So Taisus wants to know, what kind of joke is this? How does this work? How is this enforceable and based it? So the only thing the Chassid did was he made a kin chalipin. So that's what we do, right? Right before you sign the ksuba. So the rabbi goes to the Chassid and says, I'll make it a king in Sudar, and I'm going to represent the Kala, and you accept my handkerchief, you accept my pen, accept my yarmulke, and you're hereby mishabed yourself to Dikin Ksub, to Sevas Ksub, and the Dunya, the Hakol, Mikol, Kham. Tosa says it's a big joke. The Chasna doesn't have a penny to his name. So, what exactly is he mishabed himself to? What do the words mean? What do the words mean? I give you a handkerchief in exchange for what? What's the answer? What do you think it means? I give you a handkerchief in exchange for what?
For the promise.
For your promise. For your word. Your word that you will pay the $10,000 that you just said you were going to pay. So I just made a kinyan chalipin, not on a piece of land. I just made a kinyan chalipin, not on an animal, not on a car. I made a kinyan chalipin on words of assurances, of promises that you're going to do something. I don't know, that doesn't sound very good to me. Reading that sugya Masechta Ksubos, that smacks of what?
Kindvar.
Manishtan. What's the difference between the guy in Bava Vasa of Gimel who promises he's going to split a field, and now we're going to try to make it enforceable through a kinyan chalipin, and the Gemara comes down and says, Kindvar Miyama, it doesn't work. What's the difference between that and the guy who promises he's going to give his kala $10,000 in the event of a death or divorce? Let's also write the kidney divorce. That's the premise of the kasha of Taisus. It's a great kasha. So the one thing strange about the Taisus and Ksubos is that they ask the kasha, it takes them 20 lines to formulate the kasha, and you know what words they never say? They never say it's kidney divorce problem. It is clear as day that that's what Taisus had in mind. It's obvious that that's what Taisus was bothered with. But Taisus never references Tav Gimel Amud Aleph. Taisus in other places referenced Tav Gimel Amud Aleph and Tav Basra. But the presentation of Taisus, it's not clear that's the way they're driving it. But that's obvious. They don't spell it out, but it's partial what they mean. So when Taisus presents the question, they water down the question a little bit. Taisus says, Gevalt, Geshrigin, Tema, how could you do this? The Bishlam Kashiyeshlo, who Mishabin Chasl Mazachayv. So Taisus says, it's not always a kasha. It's not Not every chasana is problematic, says Taisus. It depends. If you come to the chasan's dish, and the chasan says, I'm a shabbat to pay my wife $10,000 for the service of ksuba, and the rabbi asks him, so, how much money do you have in the bank? How much land do you own? The guy says, well, my grandfather gave me a gift for Hanukkah, a very small piece of land somewhere that's worth $1,000. Says, oh, good, then we're good to go. Baruch Hashem, now we're good to go, says Taisus. Now, everything's hunky-dory. So the chosin was very, very wealthy. He's got $1,000 to his name. Taisus says, we have no problems with him being mishabed himself for $10,000. But when the rabbi asks the other guy at the next chosin and says, oh, how much money do you have? Not a penny. Zero, nothing. The few pennies that I got for Chanukah Geld, I already spent on all the dates that have been going out. So I have nothing left. Mamash zero, ain't no pruta. Taisus, oh, al zeh ne'amar kashif in kidin devarim. So Taisus was okay. If the guy's got $1,000 to his name, that's hunky dory. The guy's got zero money to his name, that's a problem.
Is the problem with the Tosefis, or is it problem with the actual 200?
No, the 200 Zeus is not a problem. The 200 Zeus is
chayv
to pay.
Because he's mechayv 200 Zeus, all of a sudden Agav, he gets his mechayv.
No.
Agav. The Kenyan helps.
No. They're two different things. The Ika Ksuba, that is mechayv to give, whether he's poor, rich, or a kailo guy, or a multimillionaire. He's chayv the Derais and the Rabban. The Tosefis is out of the goodness of his heart. So Taisus is saying, it's very nice, the goodness of your heart, but what gives teeth to it? What's the mishab?
Is it because of the kinyan chalit is chal on the...
No. So it's a very strange Taisus. I don't understand Taisus. I'm not sure I understand Taisus. Didn't you tell me that obligating yourself to do something, to pay money, is a chisaron of kinyan devarim, so that should be the same chisaron of kinyan devarim, whether you have $100 in your name or you have zero money in your name? If you can tell me that somehow this is the wrong sugya, we're learning the wrong issues, it's not a kinyan devarim issue, so like the man ishtan, how does the having $100 help the problem over here? So I don't understand this kasha. We're asking the kasha, unless the guy's got every last penny in the bank, I don't understand this kasha. So a korchuch, the Taisus must have meant is as follows. We're going to introduce a concept. We've talked a little bit, way, way back to the sugya of Garmi, we spoke about it a little bit. Yadua Mefursam, that the term shibud, the notion of an obligation, an imamnistic obligation, really has two different meanings to it, two very, very different meanings to it. Rabbi Natan used to say this, the Rosh Yitzhub is called today Rabbi Natan, Shnei Shibudim Heim. The concept of shibud means different things in different contexts. The Bertam coined the phrase a shibud aguf and a shibud mechosim. A shibud aguf, I guess for our purpose, we'll call it personal liability, personal responsibility. You, I have a tie against your goof. I can take you to court, I can take and force you to do something. I don't have any shaykhas to your property, but I have a tie against you. Again, it doesn't mean I can turn you into an evidim if you don't pay back the chol. That's only by v'nimka v'ginevosa, you stole. But I have a right, a claim against you, and that may translate into my ability to collect from you. That's a shibud haguf. A shibud chosim is a different story. Shibud chosim means I have a claim against this property. I have a lien on your house. I have a lien on your field. I have a lien on your property. And the Shiva Nechosim is so powerful that it exists even if I'm coming to collect from land that's no longer Tachas Yadcha. You already sold the field to somebody else. Or you already died and it went Birusha to your Yerushim. So the Chayr, there's no Shiva Guf in him. The Lekech doesn't have a Shiva Guf. The Chayr doesn't know who I am. He didn't borrow money from me. So what gives me a right? I lend you $1,000. You sold off your house to Pliny. What gives me the right to go collect the house from Pliny? The answer is not the Shibud Aguf, the Shibud Nechosim. They're two different things, Shibud Aguf, Shibud Nechosim. This relationship of Shibud Nechosim, what area of halacha is this rooted in? What is Shibud Nechosim a subcategory of? It's a mundane thing. I borrow $1,000 from you, and now you have a lien against my property. But what those words mean? Where did that idea come from? You gave me $1,000, and I did what? What did I do to you? in return in lieu of $1,000.
A promise to pay back?
A promise in the Dharm and Shavuos, a promise helps. No, not about Mitzvah. But I didn't ask you how you did it. I want to know what you did. Name me the concept of Dina Mamanus that was just accomplished. You gave me $1,000, and I did what to you? Usually, when you give me $1,000, what do I do in return? I'm looking for a better word. You can't use the word in the definition. Tell me the shiur it works. That model of giving money to somebody in exchange for something, what do we usually call that? The mechira. The mechira. I sold you something. Now, sometimes the sale means I sold you the gufadover, hakol, mikol, kol. You gave me $1,000, I gave you my piece of land, it's yours, the gamri. That's one kind of mechira. But we are already familiar in halacha that there are multiple kinds of mechira. There are subcategories within huchas mechira, within the sugya of meichem lekeach. Just give me like a marshal. Give me some ideas of other things that are not absolute 100% sales. They're sales vis-a-vis certain things. Like mechiras atashnishin, something that we've seen a little bit about. Schiras, possibly, depending on what you think about schiras, mechir leyoyma. I think we spoke a little bit about this in the past, last year a lot, about she'elas and schirasim. Any other names of quasi mechiras? We also talked about it a little bit. Like a kid in Paris, right? I sell you the rights of usage. And I sell you, did we just talk about this? Kid in Paris. I don't sell you the tree. I sell you the rights to use the tree vis-a-vis to collect the fruit of the tree, right? Did we talk about this by Mechiras Kefel? We spoke about this back a while ago by Tfisa, Nachshon HaSafek, by Mechiras Behemel the Kefel, right? So when the mafkid sells the animal to the shomer, he doesn't really sell the animal. He sells the animal vis-a-vis collecting the kefel. That's what's called meicha dekel keiris. So we're in the sugyas of mechira. Mechira is a chesha mishpatik concept. It's a Torah concept. The Torah speaks about in Parshas Bahar selling fields. The Torah speaks about selling metalim. The Torah speaks about selling avodim. There are sugyas of mekach hamemkar. What are the dini of Torah? The Rambam quotes mekach hamemkar is one of the mitzvahs of Torah. Dini mekach hamemkar is one of the Torah mitzvahs. It's not a mitzvah that you have to go run to do. You know, you're supposed to try to make sure you put on tzitzis, even though you don't really have to. It's a good idea to make yourself chayv in tzitzis. Some mitzvahs you're supposed to run after, and other mitzvahs you have to run after. There's no great mitzvah to run after mekach hamemkar. Imagine a guy during the Sefer Mitzvah, the Rambam writes in the Chuvah, you're trying to grab every mitzvah you can. So the guy says, I'm going to run to the store every day of Sefer Mitzvah buy potatoes. Why? The kaya mitzvah says, shatar mekach hamemkar. It's a joke.
Give your wife again.
What?
Give your wife again.
There are a lot of mitzvahs. I want to be yaitzim mitzvah. She's like Zeva. Okay, I'll steal more to be yaitzim mitzvah. So there are some mitzvahs that Torah doesn't. There are different dargas in mitzvahs. There are some mitzvahs I'm mechuyv to do. Some mitzvahs I'm not mechuyv, but it's a great idea to run to do them. There are other mitzvahs that are just parva that count as mitzvahs, but there's no great reason to do them. And there are other mitzvahs that are takaveiros that came about because ben aveiro, because I still have to she's like Zeva. So not all mitzvahs are things that we're supposed to be running after. So Mechel Memker is one of the Dini HaTorah, one of the Mishpatim HaTorah. And within the parasha of Mechel Memker, it's clear that there are dargas. The Torah gives us the parasha of Mechira, then it gives us the parasha of Schira, then the parasha of Sheila, sugyas of Eved, sugyas of Kinyan Peiris. So there are sugyas and sugyas and sugyas, different kinds of Mechiras. So Shibud Nechosim is basically a Mechira. It's a Mechira vis-a-vis certain rights. When I lend you $1,000, I'm kind of a shaychus to your property vis-a-vis the fact that if I can't get the loan back by time X, I'm gonna have a right to go take that property. You know, it's almost like the mashal ma David Doime. You know, this is a tough, you know, for people who live in the suburbs, you know, have houses. It's a tough thing to say, but who owns 36 Richter Court? My house, that's my address. Who owns it? It's a tricky statement, right? I mean, Lamaisa's got my name, got Sobolowski's name on the title. If somebody comes and tries to throw me out of the house, I can take him to court, right? I mean, it's my house. On the other hand, every month I get this, you know, big flashing alert on my phone that says, your mortgage payment of X amount of money has been deducted from your, and we all know what happens if that mortgage payment doesn't get paid for a few months. You get a big foreclosure sign, and within 6 months, you're out on the street. So, do you own the house? Yeah, I own the house. But the bank has a shibud on the house. So when I took out my mortgage loan for X amount of money years ago, so the bank gave me money. That's what happened. They gave me money, and I was mafna to them. I was mishabed my house vis-a-vis. There's chuz gevia if I don't keep on paying my monthly mortgage. It's not a mashkin. It's not really a mashkin. The concept of mashkin by karka doesn't really exist. It's not classic mashkin. Mashkin is usually from a talis. It's a little bit of a different relationship. There's some shayin in the Ritva and Kedushin that you give more coins. It's like a haknah b'miktzus, right? It's a kinyan vis-a-vis certain things and not vis-a-vis other things. So whenever we have a shibud nechasim, I have no problems creating a shibud nechasim with a kinyan chalitah. How do you create a kinyan a shibud? So l'chari, the same way that you cling to something, that's how you create a shibud. Say l'mashom, when I borrow $1,000 from you, I can create a shibud. I don't have to make a kinyan chalipin. I don't have to give you a handkerchief. What mechanism, what maisa kinyan is used? Whenever a kinyan takes effect, maisa kinyan has to be used. So which maisa kinyan is used to create the shibud nechasim and shas halva?
You give him $1,000.
It's a kinyan kesef. Karkas nikdibi kesef. So the same, sadas to kesef yikru. So the same way that minat Torah I acquire the gufa karika with kesef, I can acquire the shibud, which is a knob and mitzvah shet in Ritva. I can acquire a knob and mitzvah with kesef as well. So there's no need to make a kinyan and kinyan chalim. But I could, in theory. In theory, I could say to you, let's make the following arrangement. I want to be mishabed my karika to you. For whatever reason. Whatever my prerogative. I want to hear, but I don't want to study my karika. I want to be mishabed my karika to you. So the way to do that would be the Zayis Tefanim Yisrael Gula Vela Tumur L'Kan Gordover. I have to look for a Maisa Kinyan. So I could use a Maisa Kinyan Chalipin, why not? So you give me a handkerchief. And the same way you can be kind of the Gufa Karka with a handkerchief, you can be kind of the Shibud, the Kinyan B'Mitzvah with a handkerchief as well. So that's the background of this Taisin Ksubis. You have to know all this. When you read, open up the Taisin in the beginning of the Fikrek Ksubis, you have to chop all this information. Then Taisa says, calls a man that the chosan owns karka, then we have no problem making a kinyan chalit. So let's say a simple case. Let's say the chosan wants to be mishabed up to $10,000 of tesefes. And he's a rich guy. He's been working for years. He's got $100,000 of his own karka. So Tzai says, nobody would ask the kasha. Then obviously he can make a kinyan chalipin. That's not a kinyan dvarim. He's not making a chalipin promising he's going to pay money. What's his kinyan chalipin chal on? It's typhus on the gufa karka itself. Not vis-a-vis haknas gufa karka, but vis-a-vis mishabed as a karka. So typhus says, kol zman that the chosan has the amount of money kineged, he has karka kineged the what he's mishabed himself to. That's not a kinyan dvarim, it's a joke. That's kinyan chalipin. That's right out of Megillah Shuros. That's a kinyan chalipin. Because shibud is like haknas gufa karka. The problem, Taisa says, is that the guy doesn't have that amount of money. He doesn't have $10,000. So now Taisa begins to break it down. Taisa says, if he has nothing, so then what's the kinyan chalon? Shibud nechasim v'mati, he doesn't have a karka. I can't sell what I don't own. I can't bring mishabed what I don't own. So if the guy has zero money, then Taisa's kasha hadukush l'duchta, it's not a kinyan chalipin on the karka anymore, because there is no shibud nechasim, there's no karka to speak of. The best we can call it is a kinyan to mechayiv yourself, to mishav yourself, to do an action of paying money. That's a kinyan devar. But Tyson got stuck right in the middle. Tyson said, what if the guy doesn't have 10,000, he doesn't have zero, he's got 1,000. He's got 100, he's got $1, he's got a quarter. He has something. It's a very, very small piece of land. A little corner of his parents' garden they gave him to plant his cucumbers there. So he owns a very, very small piece of real estate. It's worth a nickel. So Tyson says, then it's okay. Then it's all right. Then you can make a kinyan chalipin. A kinyan chalipin on what? What's a kinyan chalipin on michal on? How much?
On a nickel.
So that's not good enough. She wants $10,000 with a kinyan chalipin. How's a nickel going to help? But Tai says, I'll listen to this one. You won't believe this one. Once the kinyan chalipin is chal on the nickel, So then it's no longer called a wife. It no longer falls into what? Terrible category. It's not a kiddin dvarim anymore. So kiddin chalipa is teifis. Kol zman that wasn't the nickel, the kiddin chalipa was mamash a waste of time. You're taking out the handkerchief to blow your nose. It's about as productive what you're doing. You know, it's not teifis b'chol. It's kiddin dvarim b'chol. Give him an album about. Once the kiddin chalipa is teifis, now we can pull off an unbelievable stunt. Eventually, I'm going to make money. Right now, you know, still in Kailo. Eventually, you know, a few years from now, I'll go to law school, make a little bit of money, you know, down the line, I'll get some land, I'll invest in real estate, I'm going to make 20, 30, 40, 50, I'll be doing okay. By the time this super gets around to being collected, I'm going to have loads of money. Says Tysis, all that car that I'm going to buy in 20, 30, 40 years from now will now be meshubad. Based on what? Based on what? What Maisa Kidin created Shiba and all those subsequent properties? The original Kidin Chalipin that was done. Why? Don't we have a rule called Eino the what? Eino the Mak the Dova Shalom Ali Oilam? Isn't that the Cloud Golden Kidin? You can't sell what you don't own yet?
Rechaim.
What?
Rechaim?
Rechaim. Comes Tosis and references the Gemara at the end of Baba Basra that says, "Ain Adam Makne Dava Shalav Ali Olam, but Adam Wat, Adam Meshabed Dava Shalav Ali Olam. In Shibudim, you can be Meshabed Dava Shalav Ali Olam." And the Efrat says everything's up a Kavi Yom Mishum. So we have three scenarios that play out. Three possibilities under this chuppah. So one possibility is the guys. As a tycoon, a real estate tycoon already. He's already, this guy, he knows how to handle. He already made some money right back in high school. He already invested. This guy's doing well. He's got well more than $10,000 worth of karka. For him, Tosh doesn't have any kashas. He have kashas, why he's been doing well, making all this money, and sitting and learning, but that's a different kasha, but not for him. So Tosh says, we have no kashas, we have no problem with him. Why? Because it's a great mishimur. It's a shibur on the chosin, and that's a kinyan on the chosin. What's the shadow? For the other guy who's got zero money, not a penny to his name, not a piece of carpet, not a shtick to garnish. For him, Tysus throws the hands and says, that's a kid in Devarim, because there's no Shibet Nechas to be Chalon. What do you want it to be Chalon? A Shibet Aguf? It's a kid in Devarim. Shibet Aguf, there's no profit. There's nothing practical there. There's nothing tangible we can hold on to. So Shibet Aguf is tantamount to a kid in Devarim. But for the middle guy, Tosis pulled off a stunt. Tosis says, for the middle guy, it's going to work. Because once the guy has some character, so it doesn't fall into the deficiency of a kinyan devarim. So the kinyan with chal, how in the world can this kinyan, the shibud, be chal, be stuff that's later? Isn't it any of the makhdav shalom yoram? So Tosis says, no. Any of the makhdav shalom of the mishabit of shalom yoram. So Tosis says, two out of the three scenarios we're okay with. But the other case, which is probably the most prominent, most prominent case in all of France, is that the guy has zero to it. The guy's 13 years old. The kid. He just was bar mitzvah last week. What is he? How much money did he get for his bar mitzvah that he invested already in karka? The guy has nothing to his name, and he's still meshabed himself for $10,000. So Tosis still has not solved that problem. And I don't think we're going to solve the problem today, quite frankly. Why is it not kidding the bar? I'm not ready to solve the problem yet. But before I get to that problem, I want to understand why Tosis was comfortable with the middle case. The guy has a little bit of money, not enough money, because Tosis is hiding behind that chiddush between ein adam makna of adam mishabed. So I'll ask you a question. Do you understand that? Do you understand what Tosis just said? Tosis dug up a Gemara, claimed the Gemara exists in Baba Basra. So I don't even know what exists. Tosis claims the Gemara exists that says adam mishabed davar shelo bal yadu. What's your problem? You should be screaming from the rooftops. I just told you, okay, spent 20 minutes explaining to you how shibudim work. What's a shibud nechasim? Where did it come from? What did I say? What was the yisod of everything I told you?
It's a mechira.
It's a subcategory of mechira. I just told you it's a subcategory of mechira. So what kind of joke is that? How can I turn around the same breath and say, oh yeah, but it works on a dovah shlob al yaylam, even though mechira doesn't work? Who here read the Tosis? Anyone read the Tosis? Anyone get the Tosis yet? Where did Tosis come off to say such a thing? How did Gemara come off to say such a thing? What did it? So, Tosis is making reference to a Gemara in Baba Basra, Kufnim Zayin. So it behooves us to try to read through this Gemara a little bit together. So again, our main goal, the main thrust of the sugya, is to save the day for the guy who's got no money. Because the guy who's got no money is in gross, flagrant violation of kinyan dvarim. And we're going to need a lot of work to explain when something is a kinyan dvarim and something is not a kinyan dvarim. That's the main goal. But before we get to that, we have to question why Tosfos was okay with the middle category. That's based on the notion of Mishabed Davar Shel Galuyos, which really don't understand. So take a look. Ravasa Kuptin Zayin and all separate Mamakanis. Tanan also, we looked at Mishnah. The Mishnah is the very end of Ravasa. Hamal v'schaver v'shtar. If I lend you $1,000 and we write up a document, we have Eidim, sign in the document, get Minchas v'shubadim. Then you have a right to collect from Minchas v'shubadim. What does it mean? Even though the loiva subsequently sold the field off to somebody else, the malva has the right to take the shtar of Eidim and goes collect from employment from the third party. I get the Eidim, but if the loan was never done with the document, it was simply with Eidim, just witnesses alone, goyim and the chasim nechayim. Then the most you can get is property that the loan himself owns right now, but if he subsequently sold it, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to collect it. Why is that? What's the difference? He lent the money. It's not that we doubt he lent the money. Either we have a shtar with Eidim signed, or we have Eidim spalpel. What's the difference?
Shtar is a cult.
So comes the command, the end of Rav Asin says that shtar is an unbelievable cult to it. It means people know about it. The buzz is out. Eidim could be done in the dark at night. Nobody knew about it. The basin didn't register. The cipher didn't write. And therefore what? Therefore, what do we not want to do? It's not fair to who?
To the buyers.
Even though it was a shtar, so we turn around to the buyer and say, buyer beware. It means you should have looked into it. You should have found out what a guy owes money on it. I move out there, who are you going to ask? It could be the whole thing is hush-hush under the carpet. Like, oh, you don't know. So that's clearly the difference between the move shtar and move out there. Anyone know the major machlokes, the Gemara, as to what the meaning of this distinction is? The very end of Baba Basra, the Gemara quotes machlokes on the run. What's taich in this distinction? This notion of shibud nechasim, this idea, I lend you $1,000, all of a sudden, what are you nechasim or shibud to be? Hamavas chaveru, go minchas v'shibud. Where did this come from? Oh, the Gemara quotes a big machlokes. I gave you this whole shit with Torah, that shibud is a teretic concept. It's a subcategory of Mechira. What I said was Emes, but I just have one question to ask you. Who made it up? Who made up this notion that when I lend you $1,000, you are hereby, quote unquote, selling me a kinyan benictus? Did we say it? Did we agree to it? What happened to them? I gave you $1,000, and now tomorrow I'm going to collect you from the chasm that you sold us to plug you to somebody else. Who started this idea of shibud? The Mishnah records it. It says, "State that the Mishnah of Basa Malvus to Ver Bishtar gave the Chas Bishibud." What are the two options? We have a din that exists; everyone agrees to. And now we're sitting around 2,000 years later trying to figure out where this din come from. There are one or two options. What are they? It's a din there. I said din there. Either this is Tatarla, this was Nimsal Meshavain and Arsinei, which of course would now necessitate us what? To start searching around for either of. We have one of three options. If you want to call it deraisa, one of three things has to be true. Either it's a pasuk, or a pasuk slash drasha, or it's a halach moshe m'sinai, or it's such an unbelievable, compelling svara that any Tom, Dick, and I would think of, so that lamli cross svara. It's got to be one of those, otherwise you can't have a din deraisa. Or maybe we're wrong, maybe it's not a din deraisa, maybe it's a din derabanan. And I can understand why the Chacham said it. It's not a crazy din derabanan, as you said correctly. Mishum, what? Shaltila does play love him. The same way the Institute of Prisbal. If we're not going to have a Shiva Dukha, who's going to lend money? I'm going to lend you $100,000 based on what assurance I'm going to get it back. You're going to say to me, oh, for sure you're going to get it back. I have $1 million worth of land. And today and tomorrow you'll sell the land, take the money, run to Australia and never see you again. So Shiva Dukha makes a lot of sense. Is it something that a Kadosh Baruch Hu instituted, or something that the Chachmei HaTorah, some time in between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and the days of the Mishnah, some days and sat around the Lishkan HaZoras and said, you know what, this is crazy. No one's lending money anymore. We gotta stop this. Let's make up a concept called Shiva Mechazon. So we're not quite sure where it came from. Either Deraisa Derabonin, if it's Derabonin, Tefke Bezin Hefker. We understand the mechanics of it. The mechanics is a Mechira, but we're just not sure who put this into place, the Torah or the Chacham. So the Gemara says in the end of Baba Basra that if it's a Din Deraisa, then in a Torah there's really no difference whether it's a water or a wine. It's a Shiva, it's a Shiva, it's Avo, Avo. It must be that that din that's recorded in the Mishnah, that there's no Shibud by Milvah Balpeh, that was the Tacharas HaChamim to cancel the Shibud. Mishumah, Shubsedid Lekuchos. Chazal were walking a tightrope here. But the Beis HaNagova was sitting around and making dinim and dinim vomitus. This is, in a certain sense, harder than even Nisan Hefter. Sit around and decide whether you can make Mukhtar Bishalachman. Okay, that's also a hard job, but this is even more complicated because here, we have to come up, we have to fine-tune something that's going to make society run smoothly. The Bezin has to understand economics. We need degrees from Sims in this. We got to really, really understand what's going on in the business world. Because we have contradictory, you know, interests here. On the one hand, we want people to lend money. That's very, very important because if not, the whole economy is going to collapse. So we want people to lend money. On the other hand, we don't want innocent bystanders to get hurt. The guy's going to buy a field, and then tomorrow you're going to take the field away from him. So we have to have some kind of a balance here. So, min haTorah, shibud is a shibud. The innocent guy got hurt. Tough luck. Innocent people get hurt in this world. But the Rabbanan, Chazal said, it's also not good for business. Because no one's going to want to buy fields. That's also not a good thing. So therefore, Chazal said, you know what? If it's a milvah v'alpeh, we're going to revoke the shibud. We're not making it impossible, Shaltin al Dalsalay love him. We're just telling the Malvit to do what? Simply to take the trouble to do what? Rarishta. So this was what the Mishnah came up with, this takon. So again, Minatoyah according to one opinion in the Gemara, Minatoyah Shibud always works. I mean, the Rabbanan, they knocked out the Shibud by Milvavishta. According to the other day in the Gemara, it's the exact opposite. Minatoyah, never heard of this. Shibud doesn't exist in the Torah. Mid the Rabbanan, they instituted Shibud, but when they instituted Shibud, They say, you know what? Yes, it's very important to do Shibud. She'll tell those who love it, but we're not going to do that at the expense of who? Innocent Lakech. And therefore, we're going to, the Tekon is going to be a split between Shtar versus Bapeh. So, this happens very often in the Gemara. We're reading a Mishnah. So, the Rabbi Yehuda Nosi is recording this tradition. This is the din. Nobody argues with this Mishnah. Stam Mishnah. Nobody ever argued this din. We will be Shtar, you go Mishubadim. We will pay, not go Mishubadim. Now, the Amoraim is sitting around 100 years after the Mishnah. They're reading the din in the Mishnah. How do we get here? Did we get here in a Torah? The starting point was it's always Meshubad and now Chazal knocked it off halfway? Or was the starting point that there was never Shibud and Chazal made the Shibud? So is the cup half full or half empty? We end up in the same place. Shtar versus Balpeh, it's not clear how we got here. That's just the background to the mission. This is just ABC. Just everyone, if you don't know this, you can't even learn this again. So by Shmuel. So Shmuel is sitting in the Hardor now 100 years after the Mishnah. And he wants to know the following. The ikni v'kona mahu. Normal shibud means that, say on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, I borrowed $1,000 from you. Any property that I own on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, say land, metal is a whole different ballgame. Any karka that I own Rosh Chodesh Nisan is mishubud. And if I subsequently sell to somebody else, it's milvah v'shtar, you're going to collect. Shmuel says, what if I do as follows? What if I borrowed $1,000 from you on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and I buy a piece of land a week later, and then I sell it the following week. And now you, Malga, want to know, a month later, can I go after that land? Was a shibud chal on that land? So what would your knee-jerk reaction be to that? Give it any other month, right? How can you do that? At the time that the Shibud was created, you didn't own the land yet. So the Gemara reads the Shalom Boy Shmuel, the Ikni the Konamah. The Ikni means land I'm going to buy, and I bought it, and then I disposed of it to a third party. Is that land Shibud or not? So Shmuel makes the following cheshbon. Alim Rabbi Meir, the Amma Adam Makta Davashlam Aliyah. Guess what? Not everybody agrees that other Machlokes Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Meir has a famous shita. Kain other Machlokes. I can mamash sell you a man that I don't own yet. I can sell you a car I don't own yet. I'm going to go to the deal later in the day. I can already sell it to you today. I can already sell it to you in the morning. So according to Rabbi Meir, it's a startling shita. But according to Rabbi Meir, I can mamash sell something to the Rabbi Yoylam. So what people look for that economy? So of course, shibud is a subcategory of kinyan. But that works. El kitivay lachalib et derabon and yame eno de makad davar shabal yoylam. According to the Rabbanon, that you can't be Makhna Damashal B'Yerlam, can you be Mishabed Damashal B'Yerlam? That's the Shabbat. That's the latest Asaf Gushmu. And that's what's called in our lingo, the Ikni. That's the phrase. When you see the word the Ikni, that's what it means. So, Taisus, in Ksubis, in the sixth of Mamakamis, was assuming that you learned the Gemara from Basu Kufr and Zayin. So let's go back to the way Tosfos formulated the question. Tosfos said, "Tema the Achshav Nagu Shekais Mechas Lekala Meil Litrin Avav Bishen Lo Shama Kuta." The Bishlam Kishiyesh Loi. If he has a little bit, so then it's not a kidney devarim; it's a kidney. It's a shibud. Mishabir Chaz Dechayif. Vov Nischayim. If he will never do any of the Chazim, even if this kark is not around anymore, the Kanachayim him stopped him. Even though everybody knows we don't follow Rabbi Meir, we come up other Mishabed of Shabbat Yom. Came the cost of the Asad and the Mikni. This thing, that's the Kidamina and the Bishameis. So Tyson just assumed that the answer to Shmuel's question was what? That the answer to Shmuel's Yibaya was what? Yes. But the Ikni Taka does work. So because Taisus was assuming that we learned from the Basa Kupin Zayin Kupin Ches, and we came to the correct conclusion that the Ikni works. So now we understand why if the guy has a little bit of money, so there's not a chisar, no deficiency of Kidin Devarim here, everything's going to be hunky-dory. The Kaki's buying afterwards, he didn't own it at the time that he got married. It doesn't matter, the Ikni solved the problem.
Still
didn't
answer the original
question
though, why that would be, it's under.
Yeah, so we don't understand why. We just read the Taisus. We just tried to take Taisus. So what? So what is the deep dark secret of this? The Ikni. What is assuming that we're passing this? I'll tell you a secret off the record. Taisus Ben Basa says they're not even sure that's the Maskana Segemar. But we're going to trust Taisus Subas for this one. Most of Shem hold that is the Maskana Segemar. It does work. Why does it work? What is Pshat? So come to Rashbam, the third of the Mamakamis, and Kuflin Zion, and takes a stab at this question. You see, with Baruch Hashem, we're in good company. The Rashbam is involved with the same kash. The general rule, like, when you ask a question, and you see, ooh, this is a good question. How do I know it's a good question? Rashbam asked it, Taizu asked it, Rabban asked it, right? All the Rishonim asked the same question, that's a good sign. I remember Rabbi Altuski, Scheinberg's grandson. Adam Chosh of Adam Oit, Mashiach in Eretz Yisrael, so he comes, usually comes to our house once a year. So he told me what Sugya was about. He said that when you learn a Sugya, and you start to say something in the Sugya, and you see all the Rishayim yes, this cash. Well, all the Echorim, yeah, they all get the same thing. Everyone's talking about the same issue. You know you're in good shape. Why? Well, Moshe, you're driving, it's pre-Waze days. You're driving. And you come to the realization there's not a car around for miles. That's not a good sign. That means you're lost. It means nobody, wherever you're going can't be too important. No one's going. But if you're sitting on the George Washington Bridge in the morning with 5 trillion other cars, you may be frustrated that you're stuck in traffic, but at least you're going to the right place. There's a reason why everyone's going over the bridge. So he said it's good to have company. So I wanted to, you know, elaborate upon that marshal. Said, you know, you come to amusement park. Oh, wow. I'm going to go on. Give me a good ride. King to Colin. So how long do you have to wait in line? 6 hours at least, right? 6 hours. NCSY, I'm going to wait you 6 hours. Why do I have to waste time on King to Colin for 6 hours? I'll go on the merry-go-round. It's a 30-second wait. I get 40 times on the merry-go-round for the one run King to Colin. So there's a reason why there's no line for the merry-go-round. Rabbi say, if the Rishonim are asking Akasha, that's a good Akasha. We're right on target. So the Rashbam asks this Akasha. Rashbam says, First, he makes reference to what Ramban Rabban was talking about. What was the original Machlekes Ramban Rabban? Anyone know? The original Machlekes Ramban Rabban was Adam Akadam Shavu Yerenam, was not in Dini Mamas, was actually in Kedushim. Gabi Haimel Isharem Kudashas Tachshiyamas Ishech. I don't know, that doesn't sound like a good setup over there. Shetomos Achosech. Says, I know I can't marry you now because I'm married to your sister, but don't worry, your sister's not going to be around for too long. When she dies, I don't want to be married to you. Lachish is Skyri. She's not even Jewish yet. Shem Yerachay. So the Machlekes Ramban and Rabban, whether any of these cases work or not. Ramban says, yeah, we're Kadeshus. When the sister dies. Calls upon the sister alive as a Panera, the condition phase. Calls upon the husband's alive, Shem Kadeshus, Eshes Ish. Calls upon she's not Jewish, and Kadeshus is a Be'akum. But if and when these changes occur, the condition will be Chav. There's no need to give her another ring. And the Chum say, forget it, Eshes Kadeshus. So the Gemara explains in the third pack of condition that Machlekes is really a Dinamam, it's the Cheshavish Machlekes. It's a Cheshavish Machlekes that appears in Eben Ezer. When you learn Maseches Kedushin, Maseches Gittin, you realize that 9/10 of Maseches Kedushin and Gittin are really Cheshavishpah. They're just trying to plug in all the rules of Cheshavishpah and how they impact on Eben Ezer. So Ramban Rabban had a fundamental Machlekes with the other Makhdi, Dabash Lobali Yalim and not. So this Isha is a Dabash Lobali Yalim. She can't sell herself yet. She doesn't exist yet. I mean, she exists as a person, but she doesn't have a din from Kedushin. Normally, a Jewish girl is born, so she's neat on the Kedushin. So Kozman, she's a Ketan and an Ira. Her father owns those chus of Kedushin. He can marry off. Once she's 12 and a half, the Torah says it goes to her. So she owns his chus to be machir herself. So she doesn't own that chus of Kedushin yet, because she's either because she's not Jewish, or she's an Eshazish, so she already gave that chus to somebody else. Or she has a chus of Kedushin, but not to this guy, because they Kedushin Taishim, Bechayisai. So to create a chalais now that you can't, to create a chalais in the future that can't be done now, that's the chisar of Davish Lavali Yerim. That's a cheshavish b'tikish chisar. So Rameyah didn't accept, then the Chalim did. So Taisus, so the Rashbam asked, wait a second, we follow the Rabbanim. So listen to how the Rashbam says.
I can sell you fruit that doesn't exist yet.
Wow, what did Rashbam just say, mashallah? What did she say? Give me a pure example of Dovah Shlo Baliyah. Forget Ramban Rabban. Give me a classic Chayshim Mishpat example. Here is Dekel. I own a palm tree. I'm going to sell you the fruit. I didn't say I'm going to sell you the tree gives me the fruit. No, that he could do. I'm going to sell you just the fruit. The fruit I'm going to. It's the middle of October. The fruit aren't going to grow till June. I'm going to sell you the fruit that are going to grow in 6 months. So now I want to make the kinyan now. I'm going to China now. I don't want to be bothered. I'm going to make it a kinyan now. Rameh says that works, and the Rabbanim say nothing's doing. Comes the Rashbam and says, you know what the problem with that is? Why is that called a Dabba Shlomo Liyadam? Because what? The fruit's not here. How is that different from Meshabi Dabba Shlomo Liyadam? What's Meshabi Shlomo Liyadam? I borrow $1,000 from you. I don't own the karka yet. I buy the karka next week. Is the karka there now? Does the karka exist now?
It existed, but it wasn't there. But it wasn't his.
It's not mine, but it exists. What is the Rashbam saying in this line? Classic pure Dovah Shlo Bali Olam. The item I'm trying to sell doesn't exist. Here the item exists. It's just not Tachas Yodi. It's not Shali. That's the split between Ein Adam Machta Davar Shlo Bali Olam and Adam Mishabe Davar Shlo Bali Olam. Everyone said that Rashbam. That's Mamash what Rashbam says. That's a split on a level of their rice. That's a svar their rice. I can hear that. Again, Rameh is sitting here and saying, that's not very tall. But the Rabbanan who say Ein Adam Machta Davar Shlo Bali Olam, the Rashbam is talking in the following Chiluk. The Medvah Memurim, that's the item physically isn't here.
or halachli isn't here, like the case of the isha. So she doesn't, that chus kedushin doesn't exist. Whereas over here, the karak is there. It's just, it happens not to be in my domain, not my ownership yet.
According to Rabban, Rabban would be with the woman who's not yet, the husband hasn't died yet, but he's, they agreed that still.
So clearly that's like the case of the field doesn't exist. It's a funny thing. You want to know, what do you mean the field doesn't exist? The chus kedushin is there, it just belongs to the other husband right now, the first husband now. You're going to say, according to the Rashbam, the case, the original case of Rabbi and Rabbanon, Eliyahu Shemus Ishech, is closer to the case of Shiva than it is to Kinyan. Is the name Penei Yeshua ring a bell? The famous, why is the ain't condition Tayyus and Vashis Ish? So Penei Yeshua says the following, please don't tell your wives this and don't tell the girl you're going out with this, but Penei Yeshua says the following, you want to know why ain't condition Tayyus and Vashis Ish? If I sell room in a car, can I sell it to Shimon now? Penei Yeshua says it's pure Didi Mominus. A woman has this chus condition. When she's makabel kedushin from somebody, she sold herself to Reuven. How could she go ahead and sell herself to Shimon again? She doesn't own herself anymore, vis-a-vis kedushin. So Mr. Baum is asking a very beloved Shikash in this Rashbam. If the Rashbam is right, that only applies in a situation where the item physically doesn't exist, but when it exists, it's just sold to somebody else in the interim. It belongs to Yenim, the Pliny, right now. That's not a deficiency of Einod Makadosh Shabbat Yenim. So the original case of Rabbi Andrew Abundant is wrong. That's a very, very shtetl cash. So I'll tell you a secret. We're going to show, hopefully mention tomorrow, why the Rashbam is a very, very, very difficult shita. Extremely difficult for other, perhaps even more basic reasons. And for our purposes, we're not going to go down the route of the Rashbam. We have other mahalakos to go down. We have to just understand what the Rashbam is saying and try to figure out what the Rashbam is saying. So everybody said we have our work cut out for us. We haven't even begun the sugi yet. Okay, in the world of the words of John Paul Jones, what does he say? Famous lines? I have not yet begun to define. Okay? So we're 3/4 into it, we haven't even started yet. Because the name of our sugi is Kivin Devar. Tell you the that Phil Gavra P raised the shadow. Why is it every ksuba is a Kivin Devar problem? So in passing, Tell you that, by the way, the guy got 5 cents to his name. Mishkin Kiddin Dvar, because of Shibin Nechosim. So before we can get to the real Kasher Taisim, we have to be the Lamed Tzchus of what in the world Taisim meant in the middle, which is going to take us down a little bit of a detour, but don't worry, hopefully Mitzvah Shem waves will get us right back on the path for Mitzvah Shem days to come. Okay? We'll stop for now. Big event, Shir event, right? Shir lunch. Anyone know what the pizza is?
Usually they come into the Shir.
Is it actually here?
Thank you, everybody.